As we now come to the time of listening to the word of life, so let's open our hearts to the Spirit of God who is alive in us. Our Lord calls you and me blessed. That way, turn over his words in your mind. Maybe let this song be our prayer for illuminations. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of a beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Our scripture this morning is taken from Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the reading for the day.
Thanks be to God for the words of God. So probably most of you are familiar to this passage, again, which is known as the Beatitude. But here is an interesting thing. In Matthew chapter 5, we don't find the word Beatitude. Then why do we call this Beatitude, right? Where does the word Beatitude come from? It is from Latin word Beatitus, meaning both happy and blessed. It's the same as in the original language of the New Testament, which is the Greek language. The Greek word for here blessed is makarios. And this word has both meanings, happy and blessed. The idea of this series then made sense to me as we wish one another Happy New Year, right? That traditional New Year greeting is not just for the single day, the New Year's Day, but it's for the whole year. Then being reminded that the Beatitudes are about a blessed, a happy life, then I came to believe that it's very appropriate to consider what Jesus teaches us in the words of the Beatitude for our new year now. However, in the back of my mind, I wonder, really, being happy and being blessed are interchangeable? Isn't it right to say that a happy life is dependent on what we can achieve and how we make our living? But a blessed life is more about what we receive than what we accomplish. Do you know what I'm saying, right? And this week, my daughter was happy about high score for her math test. this week. And she says, if she is happy, then I ask her back, then do you feel blessed? Then she says, no, right? That way, I wonder why we feel this awkwardness to see the interchange, right? Yeah, our understanding probably about happiness is shaped by our contemporary American culture. That's why we feel this difficulty to make these two words interchangeable. Our American culture promotes a vision of happiness to include abilities, to keep in a good physical shape and condition, and to provide for ourselves and for our family, lacking nothing. But with a high self-esteem and self-confidence and abilities. Yes, our society has long promoted the notion of self-reliance and the goals of accumulating wealth and amassing power for a happy life. Preserving individual freedom and earning respect from others are also high on the list. Yes, along with physical ability and material prosperity, recognitions, popularity, and prestige are lifted up as worthy of a pursuit if you look for a happy life. And all this is what we attain by effort, by our skills. And this is why Jesus' list of the Beatitude is so jarring. Is there is so much in the Beatitude that is shockingly countercultural, even counterintuitive, opposite to how we normally think and live. However, if we take a closer look into our lives, honestly, we can see that we cannot provide all that we need on our own. We are dependent. That's how being blessed, such a receptive term, is an important piece for a puzzle for a happy life. But be careful here. Jesus didn't say that we must do this and that in order to receive blessings. No, Jesus doesn't mean that we have to be poor or to be persecuted if we want a blessed life. No, no, no. I believe Jesus is saying the people who find themselves in a situation that is not favored by the culture of their surrounding don't have to give in themselves to the notion of the world. Instead, give attention to what God has to say and do in their lives. So that way, we enter into this sermon series. And today, we think about the first and second Beatitudes together, partially because last summer I focused more on how the entire Beatitude passage was set in a direction with the very first Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. But more than that, it's because I find these first two Beatitudes are intersected with each other. The poor and the grieving are those who feel and know that something is lacking in their lives. The poor and the grieving, whom Jesus called blessed, are those who suffer missing and loss of something or someone they recognize is so valuable that they will cry out nothing but, how could I live without this? The reality of such a painful loss and lack is a part of human life. It's true. By nature, we don't have a full control over our lives. Even our beginning, that is to say our birth, is not what we could choose, right? No one was able to choose what country or family they were born into. You think the control was granted to your parents? No, no parent can choose who to be born. If they were given that grant, then you would not be born. No, I'm kidding. So no one is able to choose and complete what kind of life their loved ones would live through all life long. no absolute control over our own life either. Again, we are dependent. Perhaps you might not lack in money with no problem to meet your monthly needs this day. You might not grieve over the gradual or sudden loss of someone you love this day. And I hope such loss of resources and death of loved ones won't happen to any of you this year. However, it's still true. We have no complete control over it. When we admit this, in that place where in our lives we suffer lack and loss before our eyes, we give a chance to find the room for God's grace arise. This is good news. This is a beatitude, the way of blessedness. Like this, only those who are serious about the loss and deficiency will be grieving over it and then be able to see and welcome the opening of God's grace. You know what I'm talking about, right? While the death of one person may have no impact on you, the death of another person leaves immense void in your entire existence. While one job loss merely means a new opportunity to look for something new, there is another job, which means taking the whole world away from you if that is gone. Yes, we grieve over the loss that we take seriously. And then we yearn for comfort. Then what about our reaction to the loss of our will to make change to a shameful behavior? As I do, do you still keep a behavior that you don't like in your life? In short, do we grieve over our sin? In other words, the brokenness of human goodness in which God created us. Making confession, instead of mourning over it, I sometimes choose alternative, such as denial, or retreat, in other words, hiding, or resignation. See, to grieve requires courage, which is here another name for vulnerability and genuine love. What about our reaction to communal loss? Do we genuinely grieve for the brokenness and the pain of our community? One of the two occasions where we see in the Gospels Jesus wept is when he looked at the city of Jerusalem. He grieved over the failure of its people to recognize what was needed to make shalom, means peace and wholeness for all. This week, our country remembers a person who had such grief, a grief over the sin of a nation. In his voice, which was full of raw emotions that seems at times almost to overwhelm him, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was speaking of, yes, his dream, but also speaking of his godly sorrow. Such sorrow has power of healing, enabling us to dream, hope, and trust in the one who is the creator, redeemer, and sustainer of the creations. Then having written this far, I felt as if Jesus was telling me, peace, that's why I say to you, be free and courageous to grieve. I grew up in a culture where it says, real man will drop tears only 3 times in his life, right? Yes, we at times here in the world cover up such a raw emotions and insulate yourself against what is unpleasant. Otherwise, you will be shown a weak person. But our Lord, may I say this, calls for freedom and courage to grieve. Not fake or shallow one, but honest and genuine one with which we grieve over what we ought to mourn. My beloved, I don't know where in your life you grieve or you try to hide and deny your grief. But may you and I be free and courageous to face loss and lack, and let genuine grief be catalyst for healing and transformation. Because our Lord says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Again, be careful. We are not told to seek and acquire happiness by earning comfort. Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who mourn because you will go out and find and attain comfort. No. Even while we are overwhelmed with grief, the presence and providence of our Lord is there. That's why Jesus says we will be comforted. Okay, let me say a little bit more, and with it we can conclude this message. I would like you to know what Jesus must mean by using the word comfort here. The Greek word for comfort is parakaleo, which means call to the side of. That way, when Jesus said that the grieving will be comforted, he was imagining, picturing, helping those people picture in their mind someone comes to their side. It's a comfort of someone who is called to the side of those who grieve. That is to say, when we grieve, when we suffer loss, when we are serious about it, when we take a courage to embrace it, and when we finally admit it's okay to grieve over what we ought to mourn, then we can find God on our side. With such experience as this, may this be a blessed year. That's one way to see this year will be a happy and blessed year, even in the midst of grief. May we love and care freely and genuinely, even if it would mean our grief would be more painful at its loss. May you and I, again, be free and courageous to grieve over what we ought to mourn. Because our God is the God of Parakaleo, the God who comes to our side. Thanks be to God. Amen.